You know, we talk a lot on this show about connecting with audiences, but how often do we really understand what people are feeling? That's where Talkalytics comes in. Talkalytics is a voice-based feedback platform that doesn't just capture what people say, it analyzes how they say it. Tone, emotion, sentiment, the stuff that traditional surveys miss completely. It's like running a global focus group on demand, helping brands fine-tune their messaging, their positioning, even their product strategy. Because when you know how people feel, not just what they say, your decisions get a whole lot smarter. And here's something to think about. Emotionally connected customers spend twice as much on the brands they love. If you're ready to really listen, go to talkalytics.com/getinsights for a free demonstration. That's talkalytics.com/getinsights. Talkalytics, the truth is in the tone. Listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded live at Advertising Week Europe 2025 in London, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technology communities. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, left a positive review, or shared with your friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening. You're listening to the AW360 podcast, where we're recording live from Advertising Week Europe 2025 here at 180 Studios in London. I'm joined now by Robert Hicks, founder at C-Screens. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad, sir. I'm not too bad. Yourself?
I'm quite good. Quite good. I mean, it's early morning here on, Wednesday, I guess. It's all a bit of a blur at this point, but, you know, only one more day after this.
We can get through this.
We can. Yesterday felt like 3 days, though. That was the that's the challenge of it. To get things started, tell us a bit about C-Screens.
Yeah, so my brother and I set up the company 10 years ago. We realized there was a gap in the market because we come from an ITV background. Mm-hmm. So we saw massive shift in TV viewing behaviors, the rise of video on demand, people being at the consumer being in control, being able to watch what they want, when they want, and more importantly, even skipping the ads. So it's like, well, where's the last bastion of safe branded content for advertisers to be able to reach mass audiences where they can't skip the ads? And obviously out of home's there. Sky Pub TV's been around for years. No one's really talked about it. But ultimately, if you take that business model of entertaining consumers in a high dwell time environment, you can increase the dwell time, the money and the advertising, the content. And we've just taken that model and we've applied it to retail environments where, you know, mums and children are shopping, sitting there having their lunch. They want to be entertained with cartoons and advertising all the way through to putting up the big screens that you see all up and down the country showing all the summer of sport. Wimbledon, this year it's the Women's Euros, the Women's Rugby. It really is like a Women's Summer of Sport. So that's what we're famous for. That's what we do.
So if out-of-home TV is sort of the missing link in modern media, why right now? I mean, I get that there's a lot of noise across, you know, digital and streaming and all of that, but there really has been for quite some time.
Yeah.
Why right now?
I think that there's two things. One is scalability and incremental reach. You know, again, you as an advertiser invest a hell of a lot of money and put a lot of ads across loads of digital platforms and long tail and UGC and whatnot. Does that mean better ROI? Am I reaching the same person over and over and over again? And it's a bit of a no-brainer. If you're outside watching one of our screens and you're watching the Wimbledon, you're not in-home watching Wimbledon. So that is that incremental conceptual sell. And also as well, it's that brand set me, I believe, really, really strongly in content and context. It's something that Sonia Dalglish at ITV always bangs on about, but I strongly believe in it. If you've got premium curated content that's heavily invested in, then the consumers trust that medium more and therefore the advertising that they see in and around that content should resonate with them more as well, and that they believe and trust those advertisers as much as they are the content that they're watching. So again, it's coming away from, it's allowing advertisers to cut through the noise and to be able to be confident they're in a brand safe environment that is non-skippable and they've got the consumer's attention.
You know, these sort of communal viewing moments, you know, pubs and stadiums and retail spaces. How are you seeing brands take advantage of that shift in behavior? And also, it seems kind of fortunate in a way, because we, you know, we just left, and I hate even bringing up the pandemic at this point, but we were in a time not too long ago when there was no communal anything. And right. Do you think that has fueled some of the interest in it?
Absolutely. I mean, you're just hitting the nail on the head there, Richard. I think people have been locked up so long, and our generation, you know, we're creatures of habit. We want to see each other. We want to share experiences. And I think live sport is one of those perfect examples of, you know, an appointment to watch. Money can't buy emotional TV at its best. Same way that you could say the same thing about drama, but being able to watch your favorite team with a friend next to you who probably supports the rival team, there's that whole, the banter that goes along with it, the highs, the lows. And again, what that does inadvertently is obviously help everything, the retail sector, the fact that pubs will be selling more beer, they'll be selling more food. But like you say, Richard, coming back to it as well, I think the pandemic did help us in a funny sort of way. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that insurgence of people wanting to get back out and, more importantly, realise that they miss being with their friends and family. And that's what we're hopefully doing in entertainment.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I did until I was around my family a little too long, and now I don't miss them at all. Let's talk premium content for a bit. There's a lot of buzz around AI, but can it really compete with real talent and storytelling? And in your mind, do audiences notice the difference? And I think maybe even more importantly to that, do they care?
Yeah, I think they do. I think especially our generation. I mean, worryingly, I saw a stat the other day that by the year 2030, I think 60% of all TV and video viewing will be user-generated or AI-generated content, which is worrying.
Yeah.
But right here, right now, the reason why I would pay £15 to go to a cinema to watch the latest James Bond film is that I know that the script's been written by real people. I know Daniel Craig's a real actor. I know he's done his own stunts. The media publicity that goes into the explaining that to the consumer. And I think, again, we take for advantage, but we're not stupid. And the consumer hopefully can see through what's real and what's not and appreciate the fact that they're willing to pay £15 to watch a premium film like James Bond. There's so much time, effort, money, and real human beings have gone into. I think that resonates with the audience somehow. Again, I can't speak for Gen Z, but if they've all they're doing is watching right now, I want to go online and I'm going to type in that I want an action film and I want someone that looks like Daniel Craig in it. You know, they can even tailor make the film that they want to watch right there, right then. They're never going to know if it made any difference, which is the worry there. But I think that's a long way down the line. Yeah, 2030 doesn't sound like a long way away, but it is for me, thank God, especially being my 50s. So hopefully we'll take advantage while we can now. And hopefully it might drip feed into the young generations and they'll realise that actually the media hype and the PR behind this film, this blockbuster that's coming out, is real. It's not being done by a bot or a machine, if that makes sense.
You know, your example is actually pretty fascinating of, you know, James Bond, Daniel Craig, just because, you know, when I think of the things that AI probably wouldn't be very good at least not right now, it's writing a story with a surprise, let alone three. And if you saw the last James Bond film, no spoilers here, but the end of that film is quite a shock to anybody who's been watching James Bond films for any length of time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still
cut up about it.
I
shed a tear a bit.
You know, I've been following some of the coverage of, you know, Amazon picking up MGM and, yeah, getting the franchise. And I'm almost to the point where I'm not sure I even really want it to go on.
Because that's the worrying thing, isn't it? Someone like MGM picks up that franchise. And I've heard through the Great Bond that they want to make it like a series.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, again, you can't make something like that a series without the help of AI, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Game of Thrones comes as close where every episode is like a multi-billion pound blockbuster episode in its own right, okay? But yeah, that is worrying. I get where you're going after me that, Richard.
Yeah, it's something. I fear for film in a way, but, you know, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
So back to TV out of home. You know, if you're a brand and you wanted to tap into these, you know, sort of emotional, high energy moments and connect with audiences, you know, around something like Wimbledon, the Women's Euro, what is your advice to them?
I'd say that there's twofold. I mean, back in the day, we had Red Button on TV, and that was when an advertising break could actually engage with an audience and you could watch a long bit of form content. Now you've got the QR codes, and again, the pandemic, weird how much stuff's come out of that in terms of good. But we're trialing something where, I mean, the Americans have done it for years, like with the Kissogram stuff, right? The basketball games at halftime and the baseball games. And I think it's now taking it to the next level, engaging and interacting with that audience. Whether that's the content you're watching on the screen. So if you're watching Wimbledon, scan a QR code, and maybe you could watch one of the other games on another court on your mobile phone. All the way through to people love seeing themselves up on the big screen. You can scan the QR code, video yourself, send a message to your loved ones, whatever it may be. That would be moderated and then bang, up on the screen at halftime, you know. So I think what advertisers and content producers need to realise is that TV is not just being consumed in-home on the box anymore. It's your mobiles and tablets, you'll know that. But specifically with TV at home, interact, engage with that audience, give that consumer another avenue or another angle or another reason to spend longer with you.
Yeah. You know, there's a growing demand for transparency in media buying. How do you think TV at home can set the standard when it comes to accountability, context, and providing real-world impact?
It's a really good question. It's something we pride ourselves on. Again, coming back from an ITV background, I thought it was really important that we justified our methodology. When we report back to our advertisers how many ads have been seen by who and demographics, really important that it's trustworthy methodology. That's why we spent a hell of a lot of money with an audit, third-party auditing company called RSMB, who have rubber-stamped and given us a green tick to say, yes, we've looked at your methodology. It stacks up to be just as good as Barb, which measures TV in-home. And the next step for us is to be able to speak to people like Lantern, who are backed by Thinkbox and all the broadcasters, to be able to measure and justify broadcast TV viewing content, but not just on the TV box or on the mobile devices. It's looking at where is TV consumed, whether that's out, home, or wherever it is. So I think all we can do is pride ourselves on making sure our methodology is growing. We make sure that we report back on time, efficiently, and of course we use digital enhancements and mobile measuring devices to know how many people in your audience for how long and what demographic they are.
Excellent. Well, this has been fascinating. Robert, if somebody wanted to find out more about C-Screens, where should they go?
Well, they can go to cscreens.com. And if they want to enjoy or actually experience some of the stuff we do, go down to Lakeside Shopping Centre with all the big screens there, entertaining with the fashion and beauty and get a look. That's why we've done deals with TikTok, for instance, and Sheer Lux, all the way through to doing partnerships with Sky. Obviously, one of the best and biggest broadcasters out there, showing all the live sports across the various business districts and retail sites up and down the country this summer, showing Wimbledon Women's World Cup and Women's Euros and the Women's Rugby Golf. Huh.
Excellent. Well, good stuff. Thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you, Richard. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including The Trustmakers, our podcast with the Edelman Trust Institute, now in its fourth season. You'll find all of Advertising Week's podcasts at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.